I invite you to pray with me and for me as I begin this message. Gracious and loving God, as always, I invite you to speak through me and in spite of me, that my words contain your truth. God, in this time that we are together celebrating your birth, God, I ask that you would give us a sign, something clear that points to you. God, help us to notice in a fresh way. God, we love you and we thank you. We open ourselves up and give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's such an honor to be with you and to be bringing this message on Christmas Eve. We didn't get a chance to meet together last year. And so this is a long time coming, and it feels so good just to be together and to be worshiping. And in a little bit, we'll be lighting the candles again and singing Silent Night. And I was just thinking about what an honor it is to bring the word, and also the memories that you might have of Christmases past, of being in this spot. This is the 61st year, I imagine, of Christmas Eve services happening right here. And tonight we celebrate with Christians all over the world as people are singing these hymns and worshiping together. And I thought about all the sermons that might have been preached here before and all the ones that I've heard my whole life on Christmas Eve and then all the ones I've preached. And I remember all of them, but not specifically any of them. Do you? Do you? No, no. Wonder why. I bet it's because you know the story already. And we've heard the story. We know that someone got up and preached about shepherds and angels and Mary and Joseph and the light of the world coming as a human baby, vulnerable in a manger. We have heard the news. It's not a surprise for us. We've heard the news and we've seen the signs that point to Christ. And this is true in the Christmas story, and it's true in our lives. We have seen those signs. And signs are so important, aren't they? Signs are important if you're directionally challenged and you're looking for a sign to something. You missed your sign, you missed your turn, you know? Signs point to something beyond themselves. And I'm preaching the sermon this evening knowing that our church is in need of a new church sign out front. We're in getting bids for a new church sign. But nobody's going to come to our church because of the church sign. They come because of what the sign pointed to, right? And that was that there's more going on. There's life. There's people living and worshiping and praising God together. That's what the sign would direct them to. When we think about signs in our lives, we think about those times that are so profound that we needed that sign at just that time. I don't know what it is for you. I remember different signs that I've just cherished. You know, a time maybe when you've had a falling out with someone and there's a sign of reconciliation that comes in the form of a hug. And that hug was more than just a hug. It was a sign that things were okay, that things were better, or the sign of a handshake, or my friend who is just about to get married, and my other friends that are about to get married, and there's this time in the wedding service where they say, "I give you this ring as a sign of my vow." It's a deeper thing that it represents. We know this time of year as we think about all the signs that point to the Christ child, the star in the sky that led the Magi to Christ. And then the news that's given to the shepherds. "This will be a sign to you," the angels say. "You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Now, I've heard that my whole life as well. And I didn't really think about it so much as a sign, you know, to the shepherds. When you hear the story your whole life and you think about the shepherds finding the baby, it's like in all the pictures, the baby's glowing, right? In all the pictures. And so the baby's glowing so bright, you could probably see that from the hills outside of Bethlehem, you know, in the pictures. And so they might have seen the baby glowing as a sign. But the baby glowing is not a sign. The baby was human and needed to be swaddled. And I always thought that the swaddling clothes, you know, especially when I had babies and started swaddling my own babies, that this is a sign that you care. That you care about the kid, that you want the kid to fall asleep. A sign, when we swaddled our babies, it was because we needed sleep. It was a sign that people needed to rest. And there's this, we watched this video when we were expecting about the happiest baby on the block. And there's this doctor who's a baby whisperer, and he wraps him up so tight in a swaddle. And he said, you might think this is really tight or that the baby might not like this. But the baby likes that, because if you don't swaddle them tight enough, they'll stick their arm out and then punch themselves and wake up the whole family. So you're swaddling the baby, and then the doctor, I rewatched these videos in preparation to talk to you about swaddling. And it's odd, you know, a guy with 10-year-old, 12-year-old kids watching swaddling baby videos. But you swaddle the baby, and then he lifts it and he puts it on its side. And he said, the swaddle, even though it feels like it might be constricting, it's really like a hug. He says, like a hug. Something like a hug. Okay, so then he puts it on its side. And then he goes into the ear of the baby. Shh, white noise. And the babies just go out like that. It's like magic. And so this shushing and swaddling is there. And the shushing isn't like, you know, hush up. It's more like, I love you. Shh, I love you. And the babies fall asleep just like that. I thought that that's what swaddling was about, that it's a sign, that it means to care, right? And that was big enough for me. And then I found out that the word for swaddling, which means to wrap up, is also used when Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan who helps the guy on the side of the road and wraps up his wounds. It's the same word in the Greek. I thought that was fascinating. And all the ways that we could talk about that we'd try to take care of one another and wrap one another up. But I began to study this, and I think that for the shepherds, the whole swaddling thing plus the manger had a whole different set of things that points to. And if you're a shepherd outside of Bethlehem, that means that you're really near Jerusalem. And one way that you might make income is selling your lambs to folks that need to have a sacrifice. There was sacrificing the unblemished, perfect lamb as a sin sacrifice. And to have a perfect lamb, what I understand is that this was a common practice for the lambs to be tied up and then placed in these stone mangers so that it wouldn't get hurt, so that it would truly be an unblemished lamb. So for a shepherd, seeing a sign where there should be a lamb wrapped up for the sacrifice, but there's a baby wrapped up in this way in a manger, it pointed to the perfect Lamb of God, the Messiah. It would have been a signal for the shepherds to know. And I thought, how beautiful is that? A sign that I didn't even see, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger is foreshadowing another sign for us. And I love how the Bible speaks in these messages, in these symbols that point to other things, like the sign of the cross, our Savior who died for us, or the sign of the empty tomb, that there is a resurrection, the sign of the water of our baptism, the sign of passing the peace, when we know that we're forgiven, the sign of mercy. We think about the sign of the breaking of bread. There's so many signs that we get to experience in the story and so many in life. And then I think about how in the story we're to hear the good news from the angels and then to go out and share the good news like the shepherds did. Or to see a sign of something and be able to point to it. And as we point to it, others see it as well. So we become the signs to live our lives in a way that points beyond just ourselves, but to Christ, our Lord, is part of it for us. So I'm going to say the prayer, and then we're going to move into communion. And I don't know what you will remember of this little sermon that I gave, trying to be a sign that points to something beyond myself, something beyond even our church, something even bigger that we celebrate. And I thought about what to take with me, what to take with you out of this place. And I thought about how last year and the year before I had prayers. Some of them were really big. I remember not being able to meet last year and praying really specific prayers. I remember exactly where I was too. I was walking past an empty gym. I was wondering if anybody was gonna be able to celebrate Christmas together. And I prayed a real specific prayer last year. I said, God, how about a COVID test for everybody to just keep in their pockets? Wouldn't that be great? I prayed. And this year I bought some. Yeah. And I wonder about your prayers. I had this nudge, and I tried to fight it. The nudge was to make these swaddling clothes to go in the manger. And I thought about it, and I tried to get out of it. I said, no, you know, why would we want to do that? But I thought maybe it would be something tactile that you would take with you and keep with you. And so I asked the quilters if they could cut 400 of these little cloths. And they said, you're very ambitious thinking that many people will come. But okay, they did. And then I stamped them. And then I was going to think about what to do to explain it to you in a way that it would be meaningful for you to take. And I'm stamping them with a star. And my family's like, what are you doing? Well, I'm making these prayer wraps. And I thought about years ago when I was praying for a baby, how a Christian Native American guy came to our school and he showed us the tradition of making a prayer wrap. And he said, you take tobacco or whatever and you put it in there. You don't have to do that. You can put it. Just think about putting your prayers into this prayer wrap. Whatever on tonight, the 24th of December, 2021, you can put your prayers right here. I wonder what they would be. And then you could keep it, you could bury it, you could burn it, put it in the river. But keep it for a few days. And then when you take it out of your pants and put it on the place by the TV, you can think about those prayers that you prayed tonight, that you put into your prayer wrap maybe. And then maybe when you're putting up your Christmas tree, you'll have an ornament that you love, and you'll wrap this ornament up in this. And then maybe next year, when you're taking out your Christmas stuff, you'll see it, and you'll think, I remember praying those prayers. Matter of fact, I remember something about a sign. Maybe this will be a sign to you. A sign that you are to take care of people, of things, of yourself. You're to take care. You're to wrap them up. A sign that you're loved. A sign that points to Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God. You see, we need these signs, don't we? These symbols that mean more, that point to something beyond just ourselves.